last time you got mad at a piece of equipment or some kind of appliance? I mean, when's the last time you got frustrated because something like a machine didn't work? It could be something like, I don't know, a vending machine that ate your money and didn't give you your snack, or maybe your air conditioning broke in your car and it got you frustrated and angry. Or maybe even better, when's the last time you got mad at a computer? I think of this, I guess it's a meme. It's a viral video I've seen of some guy in an office in a cubicle getting so mad at his computer that he starts smashing the screen with the keyboard and destroying the entire setup of his workstation. Is this actually what I'm going to be talking about? No. But I wanted you to think of that, because these are actual genuine reactions that we have towards things that are supposed to be helping us and in one way or another smarter than us. And this is how we react when things don't go the way we wanted it to. And that's how we show our frustration. Now, if we're talking about things that are not as smart as us, well, we could also include things like animals and children, but we might be getting a little ahead of ourselves here, because when we make the distinction between animals and children and, let's say, appliances and technology, we're drawing a line between things that we generally don't care about in the same way that we do for our pets and our own kids. But that's not what this conversation is about. I'm really talking about the fact that we are usually in a place where we consider ourselves smarter than the things that we are using and the tools that we make. And this includes computers and any kind of technology. And as our technology improves and these things get smarter, it's amazing how much more involved we get emotionally in our reactions to these things. So instead of kicking that vending machine because it didn't give us our snack, we have crossed to the other side of the spectrum where now we are afraid of that computer on our desk because it might be spying on us, or it might be plotting against us somehow, or the internet might know things or find things out about us that we don't want it to know. And all of this because apparently these things are getting smarter than we want them to be, and it's making us a little bit nervous. And so, as the fable kind of goes, Dr. Frankenstein will eventually create a monster that will destroy him, and that becomes kind of an apt analogy for what we're doing with technology. But I'm not just talking about technology. I'm talking about smart technology, or as we refer to it now, artificial intelligence. But have you ever really thought about artificial intelligence? It seems kind of redundant to think about the thing that makes you think, but there's something there that scares us. Artificial intelligence seems like it's on everyone's mind these days. Did you see what I did there? Sorry, dad joke. But in all seriousness, we're at the forefront of a very crucial time where we're actually considering the ramifications of what we're doing, and I think it's great. From a professional perspective, I recently attended a conference with other media creatives, and this topic came up as something for us as creators to contend with, but also to harness. Several months ago, I even pitched ideas at work in this direction, including immersive technology like augmented and virtual reality. Yet, regardless of what technology we're talking about, the idea of AI is pervasive in not only its power to do good, but the ramifications of it gone wrong. While we're pretty content allowing AI to run applications, find things on the internet, or even drive our appliances or machinery, the question of the AI takeover is even more so relevant now than during instances where the likes of the Terminator made us question what would happen if it got too smart. The slippery slope takes us from robots doing mundane tasks for humans to then eventually succeeding humans as the dominant species, in effect wiping us out for being so inferior. The lament of AI becoming too smart is echoed in every conversation in seemingly every industry, from marketing to healthcare, from algorithms built into websites and social media that track and target us for everything from purchases to assaults on our self-esteem, to nanotechnology being used to heal our bodies or even prolong our lives. We built computers and made them smarter than us. That was kind of the point, because they can be smarter than us. But we're at a point where we're becoming afraid of just what they will do when they realize they're smarter than us. The sense of control we've had has suddenly blinked away like the cursor on a computer screen, leaving us with a fearful apprehension that we, at best, would end up in some kind of matrix-like situation, providing this new race with power, or at worst being simply destroyed because of our useless inferiority to this superior entity. The Luddites, who've shunned technology in the first place, have always pointed to our demise at our own hands, which, not coincidentally, are hands that built the computer chips and wrote the code that would inevitably call for our exit. So, are you afraid of the AI takeover? Do you fear that AI will eventually become so smart that in some Skynet crystallization of self-awareness will become sentient and try and replace us as the dominant group on this planet? Or do you feel that we'll always be in control because robots and computers will never feel or have free will the way we do? What puzzles people is the uncertain destination in making technology that appears to think for itself and have abilities that we, as mortal animals, could never possess. Shows like Westworld and even Black Mirror have made us take pause to realize that we may be unleashing something onto the world that, once out of Pandora's box, will never ever be contained again. And why? For our convenience? For our profit? For our selfishness? Or for our progress? Or advancement? Or evolution? One can take either side of this argument and pose some compelling views each way. It really comes down to an ethical, moral, and even philosophical take on the subject of whether artificial intelligence is right or wrong. This is where it becomes a puzzle for nearly everyone. The scientific community can argue with the business community and field the larger human community's wants and concerns, but there's no definite answer to the conundrum of whether or not we should or shouldn't. Until now, I'm going to pose an explanation that I can truthfully say I haven't heard in the myriad of fictional as well as real-life conversational coverage that I've absorbed on the topic, all the way from apocalyptic takeover stories to podcasts trying to get to the heart of the issue, whether or not that heart is synthetic or not. I've taken it upon myself, in a recent epiphany of this topic, to offer a perspective based on a couple of qualifiers that have enabled my understanding. It was honestly like finding the right phrase to enter into a search engine to find exactly what I wanted to know, Boolean operators and all. The first thing to qualify me to assess this situation is not just my understanding of my own and perhaps others' human condition, but my analysis of the philosophical quandaries via all the tales I've consumed since the first time I was able to process the information in my rudimentary hard drive of a brain. And in speaking of my development from a tiny human into full maturity, the next qualifier is the fact that I've already created new entities to eventually succeed me. My experience as a father is the final component needed to be able to synthesize the answer to the AI puzzle. Let's start by not defining, but just looking at the phrase artificial intelligence. Again, don't define the words. Think about what this means. If we use artificial to say robot, then that's one thing. But in the truest sense, intelligence should be just what it is. In other words, you're either intelligent or you're not. There's no faking it. If it's artificial, then you are indeed not actually intelligent. So let's start here and ask ourselves, are we not okay with someone or something being smarter than us? Or are we not okay with the fact that it's a robot, something that is too similar to us physically, and somehow or another that kind of freaks us out? The internet, as an entity, can be considered intelligent, yet I don't think we are inherently scared of it. Despite reservations in the abuse of technology via the internet, it's clear that the sheer processing and computation power harnessed by the internet is something that we not only want, but have become dependent on. But even more to the point, do you feel threatened by the idea that someone out there is more intelligent than you? Do you feel like they may try to dominate or even eliminate you because you are inferior intellectually? I would think not, because the nature of being an individual also includes the fact that you may or may not be smarter than the next person. It doesn't mean that you feel threatened enough to do something to that person. Further along in this logic, let's say there was a large group or society of people verifiably more intelligent than you. Would the fact that they could outsmart you and possibly oust you in some way be enough for you to fear them? Again, logically, this confirms that we are not afraid of being dumber than someone else. So then what of this fear of robots being smarter? I have 3 children, each several years apart and at varying degrees of intellect. At this point, there's a toddler, a young child, and a full-on little kid. In a lot of ways, they represent our creation of artificial intelligence in computers and technology. So think about it. After they come into being, We try and impart onto them the knowledge that we already know, essentially knowing that their survival depends at least on knowing what's gotten you to live as long as you have. This includes the basic functions of a human, like walking and speech. For machines, it would be giving them the essential coding and commands to perform the most basic functions that you could do manually. This is where a lot of our technology is and has been. Things like transport machines, such as cars, and appliances, such as dishwashers. We could certainly get somewhere on our own, or wash our own plates, but we've taught these things to do it for us. Of course, along the way, there's going to be mistakes. In the same way that machines malfunction, kids will fall and hurt themselves. They'll fight one another. They'll misbehave. But as in every model of a device or appliance, we'll apply fixes to these problems. Or for children, teach them right from wrong. Are we scared of these things yet? Thought not. As we move forward, though, the tasks become more and more complex, requiring more decisions to be made about more things and more actions to be performed in more complicated tasks. There's a higher energy requirement, but also better success rate at doing things. Wait, are we talking about kids or devices here? I think you see where this is going. The AI puzzle is one that we've been unconsciously trying to solve well before technology came into play. Because if you remove the redundancy of calling it artificial, we have been creating intelligence for centuries. Beings that we create in the hopes of having them become smarter and more successful than us, and perhaps even caring for us when we become less able ourselves. Sound familiar? And at what point do we look at our children and wonder when they will feel dominant enough to do away with us? At what point did you look at your parents and say you finally surpassed them in one way or another, to the point where you don't need them anymore? Need is an operative word here. It's just because you don't necessarily need something, it doesn't require eliminating it. You would just move on, or in children's case, move out. As a parent, you might look at your children at some point and worry that they'll become something undesirable, whether it's because of bad behavior as a child or even poor decisions as adults. But even when they're, quote, out of control at these stages, does that make you fearful of them? Human beings have dominated, conquered, and killed far more of their own with intelligence that was passed on and nurtured by parents than anything else that we might consider intelligent, and that will not likely change. Why? The answer is simple. You can teach a robot to be smart and even intelligent, but you cannot teach it to hate and fear if intelligence is actually present. In the same way that we have patience for one of our children hitting his sibling, we don't look at this mischievous and possibly even malicious behavior as a threat resulting in the removal of all children. Our intelligence validates the immaturity of these beings to recognize the futility and pointlessness of such behavior. And so, we step in and do what's right to correct the situation. If we did anything different, it would not signify intelligence by any means. And so when the robots become smarter than us to the point where they are superior and more capable in every way, why would they feel at all threatened by our immaturity? Because we're capable of damage or destruction? Only in the sense that your children can damage your household or destroy your belongings. And what then? Do we eliminate the children because of this possibility? The distance between our intelligence and that of our young children is infinitesimally smaller than comparing us to this non-existent super race of AI. And yet we already have this fundamental understanding. But this being said, I'm hoping that this analogy is far more than just acknowledged by your intellect in considering these questions. Likely, you completely understand that this is actually the answer to the riddle of what we will do in the face of our own extinction. In every conversation about AI, replace every reference to this foe with our children, the equivalent representation of the exact thing that we fear in robots. And why? Because they are so close to us in every way that they effectively act as a mirror to our own insecurities as well as our successes. As a parent, I've looked at my children so many times and seen myself in them, not just physically, but in their behavior, mannerisms, and even experiences in this journey of learning. And this emotional intelligence that's hardwired in all of us, encoded into our very beings, creates empathy and understanding, not fear. But along with this comes the sobering realization that these beings mirror everything about us. But along with this, the sobering realization that these beings mirror everything about us can sometimes be the terror we experience in what kind of people they might become and how that might be a result of our own doing. The fact that we might be the creators of the very technology that would destroy us goes very far in the analogy of a younger generation taking over and pushing aside the older. This doesn't even acknowledge the fact that if we abuse our children, they may retaliate or grow up to do the same thing to their children. However, the human intelligence is extremely adaptive and will learn from wherever it can learn, in the same way robots are, but it doesn't mean it can't be corrected. However, it all stops when we introduce genuine intelligence into the situation, because as illuminated here, a superior intelligence from the kind we are capable of to that of the machines that we, like with children, can teach, will still have a milestone of complete and total understanding when it comes to the irrationality and irresponsibility of the less intelligent. So when the robots rise up and look us in the face to determine our worth, it won't be to wage war on us, because that would imply a kind of fear and retaliation that only puny mortals are capable of, with the likes of murder and war. This supreme intelligence would look upon this disastrous playroom of a planet and just nod their heads. They may even clean up after us, despite the fact that we hit and scream and express an anger and hatred towards a level of understanding that we do not or are not capable of having. I have no fear of my children when they act out with every fiber of their being, proclaiming an intelligence and ability that they clearly fall short of in every failure of behavior and mistake in communication. I'll sit down with them and, like holding the mirror up to ourselves with the technology we create, show them that I understand what they're feeling, because I've been there before, either literally or emotionally or psychologically. The truth of this analogy is that in the scenario where we fear the technology will destroy us out of sheer self-aware will, the real intelligence will lie with the superior intellect and the artificial within us. Because while we hold ourselves in such elite intellectual regard, our inability to overcome fear draws the line between artificial intelligence and the real thing. I imagine this legion of robots to look at us with either disappointment or likely pity for being the immensely capable and yet flawed and futile creatures that we are. In the same way that we might nurture that toddler or comfort that elderly family member, the intelligence we either have or perceive we have would hopefully be the only thing to take over and nurture the one thing that, robot or not, should be preserved: humanity.